Let us stand and sing together. Rise, shine, you people.
Light and life and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven now are forgiven. Come celebrate your banners high unfurling, your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. To all the world go out and tell the story of Jesus' glory. Tell how the Father sent the Son to save us. Tell of the Son life and freedom gave us. Tell how the Spirit comes from every nation, God's new creation.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to Christ Lutheran Church, where our mission is to gather in worship, grow in God's word, and serve in Jesus' name. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day to my dad. And all those who serve the role of fathers in our lives. You've got this yellow card in your bulletin because at the time of the sermon, you're going to be invited to contribute. You can write your contribution on the back, or you can just raise your hand and speak out loud. But I want to give you a prompt. What is the most helpful thing your father ever did for you? Here is a interaction between a father and a child. A boy comes home from Sunday school and his father asks him what he learned about God, and the boy was so excited to say, "I know what God's real name is." The dad said, "Oh, really? Well, what is it?" And little Johnny said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I also want to acknowledge that today, our national holiday is Juneteenth. And so we are especially repenting of the history of slavery in our nation. And we lift up all who are oppressed and those who bring release to the captives. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot break ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are free to love as God does. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with the first verse. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Please join me in reading the Psalm 42 and 43 responsively. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?
My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?"
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival.
Why are you cast down, O soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me.
By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me?
As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually,
where is my God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me.
For you are the God in whom I take refuge.
Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. The second reading is from Galatians, the third chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Here ends the readings. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming through the city how much Jesus had done for him. The gospel of the Lord, we say.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'm asking Drew to be my timekeeper, leaving the lights on. And if you've got that handheld mic handy, in case someone feels brave enough to bring their question up vocally. Thanks, Scott. Remember, you can always use the card. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And if you're still feeling shy or confused, this is the second Sunday where we're going to have a dialogue-style sermon. And, of course, I'm going to start with some terrible Father's Day jokes just to help you feel warmed up. I feel like the theme of the scriptures today is power struggle. You've got Ahab, Jezebel, and Elijah having a power struggle. You have Paul talking about this power struggle between the law and faith. And then, of course, you have Jesus being asked to leave the Gerasenes where he had just freed someone from bondage to demons. One of the greatest power struggles of all time, I believe, is sometimes with a father and a son. And it could not be more exemplified than in the Star Wars movies. So if you haven't seen a Star Wars movie, you're just not going to know. But if you have, you're going to know. Darth Vader says to Luke Skywalker, "I know what you put under the tree for me for Christmas." "How, Dad?" He says, "I have felt your presence." Where does Luke Skywalker shop for Father's Day? The Darth Mall. I know, these are terrible. But Leia asks her brother Luke, why does Darth Vader always sound so angry when he's breathing? And Luke says, he's just venting. I know. All right, now we're on another yellow card, thanks to those who have turned in a yellow card. One of the questions is, will we have two psalms in our liturgy often? Did you feel like you really got your money's worth on psalms today with 42 and 43? So in Pentecost, we can choose between two paths of the lectionary. So it's been designed by the church officials in our revised common lectionary that we share across several denominations, but this is called the semi-continuous narrative, and that's just what we've been given. But I purposely chose this lectionary track because it gives you all these vignettes of the Old Testament. So just like if you haven't seen Star Wars, and now you're going to want to go back and learn the story because of those jokes, right? If you don't know the whole story of Elijah with Ahab and Jezebel, you are definitely going to want to go back and read the whole thing, starting with Ahab's dad, Omri, his dynasty, the way they tried to keep peace and make alliances with the southern kingdom, the bloodshed. If you like the twists and turns of English history, ooh, you are going to love the stories in 1st and 2nd Kings. I'm going to keep going unless someone has a yellow card or a question. Becky, you're going to hand me the card. Okay. Thank you. Ooh, okay. All right. If we are all children of God through faith and no distinction among us, why do we see Caucasian church members only when we look at our congregation members? Wow, okay. So I think that's coming from Galatians. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, slave and free. All right, food for thought. Could Christ Lutheran sponsor a family, such as a migrant family from another culture? Can we invite our neighbors from Tri-Valley to join us in some activities? Wow, these are like strategic plan kinds of questions. Woo! I like to turn those big ideas into an offering of prayer. God, help us to see what your plans and purposes for Christ Lutheran are today. Thank you for lighting the fire of our heart to look outside our own doors. Help us to see the ways you are opening those doors to connect us, not just to one another, but to one another and to those we have not met yet. Thank you. Okay, I am wondering about the cake mentioned in the first lesson. What would it have been made of? Angel food? Oh my gosh. I don't know. No. Did they use wheat flour in that region? Oh, would it be gluten-free? I don't. What were the foods like at that time? Ooh, that's also kind of a good like academic Bible study question that I would want to look up. Let me think that through. There are actually several times where someone's on the lam and an angelic presence provides food. I'm specifically thinking, remember when Jacob is running from Esau? Yeah, he was provided with an angelic dinner too. And then, of course, you've got the manna and the quail. in the wilderness when the Israelites have fled from slavery in Egypt and they're wandering and they're so hungry and they're just complaining. And God says, okay, complainers. That sounds like a power struggle to me. I'm going to provide you manna. Here's how you're going to collect it. It's going to be like flaky white, fluffy bread. And then I'm also going to give you quails. So many quails, you're going to eat them till they come out your nostrils. Power struggle. Is there a special significance with the number 40? Elijah was in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. And didn't it rain for 40 days during the flood? Yes. So some people will say 40 days, the psychologists, my friends who are psychologists will say, it takes 40 days to learn a habit or unlearn a habit. But 40 days for transformation. I just heard this quote this week that humans aren't afraid of change. We're afraid of being changed. But if I take on or let go of something for 40 days, it's probably going to stick more. It's going to change the landscape of my life. Thank you. Any others? I want to talk about my dad for a second. When I think about the most helpful things that my dad told me, the first was he taught me how to drive. And he taught me how to drive in a really specific way that still serves me today. So I think about him every time I'm behind the wheel. So pretty big impression, right? He also taught me how to drive, buy a car. Taught me how to buy a car. So very helpful. My dad also taught me that there is never not a good time to eat ice cream. Even if that's before to... Nolan sees me. Have you inherited that gift? Or perhaps you're giving it to your father. There might be some troubled tummies tonight, maybe before dinner. Okay. And of course, the other thing that my dad gave me was resurrection hope. I was brought up in a house with the stories of the Bible, even though most of them are gravely inappropriate for children. But along with the power struggles that come in the average household, wait, Drew, I'm looking at you. Am I at 10 minutes? Okay, well, we got to wrap it up here. You know, in every household, you've got, hey, you can't eat ice cream before dinner, or hey, don't tell your mom, but let's have ice cream before dinner. So blended into the natural power struggles between spouses and the generations, grandparents, parents, and children, and siblings, were these really weird stories, weird and wonderful. And so for our family, they were just this blend. And there was never any discussion or judgment about it. It was just, yes, it's natural to talk about how Elijah slaughtered 400 prophets of Baal. And the consequences were that Jezebel then was trying to track him down to kill him. He was able to escape. She promised that if she wasn't able to catch him, that her curse would come back on herself. Guess what it did? Not at the hands of Elijah, but at the hands of her own eunuchs. Because when the prophet Jehu came back for Jezebel's recompense for the way she had killed the prophets of the Lord and all of her infidelity and sorcery, she was up at the second story of the palace, and Jehu shouted up to her eunuchs, hey, if you're on my side, toss her down. And they did. And so she died, and her dogs ate her. That's the kind of stories that we were raised with. So I'm just encouraging you to blend it all together, right? Any last call on good news cards here? Okay, so the good news of today that we are not imprisoned under the law. We are free through God's bond to us by becoming human in the person of Jesus. That's the incarnation with Mary. And that we are not in bondage to any spiritual force. That Jesus is far more powerful than any legion anywhere. Not only is he able to drive out the demons that possess the Gerasene man, he also possesses the ability to surrender to those who are in bondage of fear to his power. Please leave, they say. Our entire economy just went over the cliff and drowned in the lake. Go. And Jesus goes. He continues to surrender, of course, even up to Calvary, where he gives over his body in the ultimate power struggle, right, between the Roman government and the religious authorities of the Pharisees. The one who has command of all power relinquishes all power so that his heavenly Father's mission may be fulfilled and that all sins would be made powerless under the love of God. That is the resurrection hope that my Father taught me. To love is to suffer, and I wouldn't trade love for all the ice cream in the world. I'm just going to read this very personal note here. When I was going through a family upheaval in 2014, and my life as I knew it had ended and a new one was beginning, I didn't even know my father had written this note until I found it this week. So for me, this is Father's Day every day. It was in the book on my shelf called Healing Through the Dark Emotions, The Wisdom of Grief, Fear, and Despair. And indeed, I was in a season of all those things when my father wrote me this, but I've only read it this week. Some years ago, I worked with Harrison Smith on a Lenten program. He recommended this book, Healing Through the Dark Emotions. His presentation focused on depression. I attempted to connect these same dynamics with the Passion narrative. The gospel center, the really good news, is that we are not alone in grief, not isolated in betrayal, not unique in pain, nor separated in sorrow. Only God, the All One, can bear the sin of the world. Jesus is present in the pit, bearing with us the abuse of faith, hope, and love. God did not take away the hurt of Good Friday, but overwhelmed it with the joy and the full aliveness of Easter. My precious daughter, I know that you are in the midst of a painful narrative. Know also that you are not alone in your journey. Hearts in heaven and on earth break with you until we all break forth into joy. Love, Dad. Let us stand and sing together, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness.
seas, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand. From this well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land. Praise the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory. Praise the one who makes us one.
We affirm our faith in God using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, creation, and all in need.
God of presence and peace, strengthen your church around the globe to proclaim the message of your love coming to the world. Open our hearts to recognize your face in all people and in all of creation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Warm the hearts of all who celebrate Father's Day. Help us to heal from broken family relationships and open us to receive your nurturing love from all who serve fathering roles in our lives. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For all those serving in the armed forces, including Bryce, Ryan B., Cassandra, Darren, Eli, Ryan S., and Jacob. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Give a heart of discernment and integrity to all leaders, including Joe, our president, Tim, our governor, and Tom, Norman, Ryan, Mandy, Tracy, and Bruce, our mayors, for peace and justice in all nations, and including the communities of Biscay, Brownton, Glencoe, New Auburn, Plato, and Silver Lake. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of comfort and care, be present with those on our prayer list and those celebrating a birthday or anniversary. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for wisdom, peace, and justice to prevail in the Ukraine. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For your mission for Christ Lutheran Church, for the person who will be called to be the next pastor, and for the call committee, for the many ministries planted here, including the TIEF mission. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For those who have died, may they rest in peace and rise in glory. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Remembering the congregation of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Birmingham, Alabama, all victims and perpetrators of gun violence, Deliver us, O Lord, from all violence. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Remembering those who suffer from natural disasters, especially those affected by the flooding in Yellowstone. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Trustworthy God of every time and place, we entrust these spoken and unspoken prayers into your holy keeping. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated while our ushers collect the offering. If you prefer to bring your offering to Christ, well, now is the time. Please stand. God of abundance, you have set before us a plentiful harvest. As we feast on your goodness, strengthen us to labor in your field, and equip us to bear fruit for the good of all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for a temple talk from Aaron.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Sauter.
More than 1.2 or 1.5. 5 million encounters so far this fiscal year. And also, it's hard to get this, that 50 of the migrants who were nabbed are actually on terrorist watch lists. Meanwhile, agents are said to be furious that a disciplinary decision will be announced soon on those horseback agents who were falsely accused of whipping Haitian migrants last year. The Malusia, live at the border in Ottawa, Texas, with much more on this. Hey, Bill.
Eric, good afternoon to you. That's right. We are starting to push into those brutally hot and dangerous summer months down here at the border, and the activity is not slowing down. It's actually doing the opposite. It is surging. Case in point, take a look at these photos just put out by Border Patrol here in the Rio Grande Valley yesterday. What you're looking at are numerous large groups, three of them in total, here in Hidalgo County and in Starr County, totaling more than 500 people over a span of just 2 days. Mixed into those groups of more than 500 were 146 unaccompanied children. Remember, there were more than 14,000 of those unaccompanied children who showed up at our border in May, most of these from Central and South America. The RGV sector has had more than 362,000 illegal crossings since October. They're not alone, though. Take a look at these photos just put out by Border Patrol in the Del Rio sector. They are dealing with the exact same thing. They report in the last 48 hours they have had 8 large groups totaling nearly 1,800 migrants. Some of those groups having more than 300 people in them. That sector also getting pummeled. They've had more than 307,000 illegal crossings since October. Their numbers are up a staggering 122% over the same time last year. Then we'll take you to Arizona. Take a look at this video. This is out of Yuma, Arizona. They are also getting hammered as well. They have had more than 290,000 illegal crossings since October 1st. Listen to this. Their numbers are up a staggering 318% over the same time last year. Many of those migrants liking to cross in Yuma because there is a massive gap in the wall where they simply walk through. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, not happy about the situation. He lays the blame squarely at the feet of the Biden administration. Take a listen.
The Biden administration has decriminalized and incentivized people breaking the law. And so these aren't people coming here to, you know, be housekeepers or work as bartenders. As a result of these policies, you have literally people on the terror watch list coming in. You have the cartels flooding our country with thousands of pounds of illegal drugs every single month. So Americans are dying as a result of these failed policies. And we're also paying the cost not only in lives, but we're paying the cost in treasure as a result of all the social services, everything from, you know, health care to housing to food stamps that the Biden administration is trying to give to people that are illegally or violating our laws.
And again, CBP sources tell us there have been more than 440,000 known gotaways at our southern border since October. Arizona is actually number one when it comes to gotaways. That CBP source telling us the Tucson, Arizona sector leading with more than 140,000 known gotaways just since October. We'll send it back to you.
Yeah, Bill, and quickly, in terms of that administrative hearing or decision on the agents who were on the horses, they were falsely accused of whipping Haitian migrants, of course, when they were actually, we're told, just controlling the horses with the reins. Do we know exactly what the administration and officials are going to charge those agents with in terms of an administrative restrictions?
Eric, we don't. We're wondering the exact same thing because earlier in the year, DHS's Office of the Inspector General, they cleared all of these horseback agents of any criminal wrongdoing. They thought it was done, and now we are hearing from federal sources that CBP's Office of Professional Responsibility has identified administrative violations allegedly committed by these horseback agents, and they are planning to discipline them in the coming days. What that discipline is and what these supposed violations are, we simply do not know yet. However, we're being told that the agents are going to be notified in the coming days, and they will have a chance to fight it. We'll send it back to you.
Our critics calling it a political move.
Pardon, can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, Bill, our critics calling it a political move.
Oh, 100%. The Border Patrol Union is furious. Border agents I've talked to are irate about this. Remember, President Biden got up had a press conference when this happened and promised those people will pay, there will be consequences. He said those agents were strapping people. Maxine Waters said the images were worse than slavery. Secretary Mayorkas said the images were horrific and don't reflect the nation. So yes, border agents furious. They feel like prominent politicians got up there and convicted these men before they ever had a chance of an investigation playing out.
All right, we'll see what happens. Later on this hour, we'll be talking with Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez about this and what he thinks the administration should do to stop the migrant flow. Bill Illusion, as always, live in Chicago, Texas. Thanks, Bill. What the?
Well, Eric, as we just heard from Jonathan Sarey, summer travel season is right around the corner.